as you might know, I was on the Recruiter House Party show last week with Jerry and Maureen and the hit girl, Rayanne. And the host, you might know her as well. I think of her as the greatest recruiter in Hawaii, Maha Akiki. She tells me she's from Lebanon, but Maha sounds like aloha to me. Anyway, in case you didn't hear me, I'm going to play you a little clip from that show right now. Here it is. Let's see.
The question is, you are the nicest person. Why do you always put that persona for us to think that you're not?
But I'm not the nicest person. I don't know where you come to that conclusion.
Animal, my question is, why do you insist on putting that particular persona out?
That's me. That's me. That's
the real him.
That's me. Should I say it again? That's me. You see, that's the end of it. That's her goal, was to bug me about who I really am. I told her the truth. This is me. But I have to admit, I didn't elaborate because I'm a modest man and I was there to discuss issues, not my personality. But you know what? I felt kind of guilty because my resistance, at least to me it seemed, that it really put a damper on the show. So I am going to answer her question now, right now. Every now and then, she's right. I do hear people say, I'm an animal at Recruit Fest, and he was really different. Why is that? What's going on? What can it be? Well, I'm going to tell you. If you meet me at Recruit Fest, you'll see that I'm a mild-mannered recruiter, minding my own business. I got nothing to say to strangers, and I'm not good at parties. And that's why I'm always asking my guests, what do when they go to networking events and they don't know anybody? And the answers I get are usually pretty useless. Remember, last week, the guy might be here now. The guest said, well, you know what? I just sit down at the table. I tell everybody I have a catamaran, and then I regale them for a half an hour with my sailing stories. Well, that's not me. That's not me. How do I know you want to hear my life story or my political opinions? You know, I go to Starbucks every morning just to get some peace, and people see me once. The second time they see me, they start telling me all their personal business as if they're my friends, and I don't like it. But in regular life, I will put up with it. I told you, I'm mild-mannered, but not on this show. Not on this show, and you know why? Because I'm not here to make you feel good. And I'm not here to listen to baloney. I'm here on a mission. 3 years ago, I decided that I would create a podcast. And the guiding idea was this. If someone forced you to listen to it for an hour, you wouldn't feel the urge to kill yourself just to get out of doing it. So it's not supposed to be monotonous, and it's not supposed to be boring, and it's not supposed to fill the air with your incomprehensible jargon. But I said to myself when I started, I'm almost done, friends, yeah. Anyway, I said to myself when I started, Animal, you don't have a team of flunkies out there to screen out the dead wood in advance of the show, and you don't have a team to teach your guests how to be interesting before they come on, so you have to do it yourself on air while the show is going on. So yeah, at Recruit Fest, I'm a regular Clark Kent, but on the Animal Show, I'm Stanley Kowalski, and the people who are attracted to this show are Bulgarians with a purpose, just like me, fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and dare I say it, authenticity! Ugh. Anyway, all you sissies, time to abandon ship! Because Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Music. I couldn't find the other music. I don't know why. Hi, everybody. No guest today. Jerry, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hi. Okay. Now, our strategy this week is a little different, because last year, Jerry Albright, whom you just introduced my show, last week, he said to me, Animal, I think we need a change of pace. You got too many darn recruiters lately. Same old thing week after week. I'm begging you, please do something different. And when I was a teenager, I used to be an usher at a movie theater. I don't know if they have them anymore. Anyway, if they showed the same movie more than one week, I thought I was going to blow my brains out rather than go to work. I hated it. Anyway, so
you ever
I provided
Pee-wee Herman
some...
there?
What? Anyway, I've got something a little different today.
I'm killing myself over here.
I don't even know what you're laughing at. I thought I would tour around the Twitter and the find out what everybody.
The Pee-wee Herman of radio.
Anyway, I thought I would tour around Twitter, find out what everybody was talking about, and we would discuss it and see what value there was, okay? And the thing is, I got this letter, an email this morning from someone I hadn't talked to since 2001, and I was so busy answering her that I didn't get to refine the research I'd done during the week. So I don't know if I got enough for you. Anyway, I want to start.
What are you talking
off.
About, man? What's going on?
I toured Twitter. I got a bunch of stuff that I found on Twitter that we're going to chat about.
Okay. All right.
The Twitter tour.
Jerry, are you listening, Jerry? What are you doing over there?
I'm kind of fading in and out.
I see.
What happened to your guest?
I didn't have a guest.
No guest. Are you guys listening at all? Wow.
Well, I see. No, I see the Lance here. And I didn't know what happened on your
Well, the Lance, okay, well, yeah, if you go to my blog, recruitinganimal.com.
Let's all go there. Right
no,
now.
No, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio Show, recruitinganimalshow.com.
That's where I am.
And you'll see a picture of the Lance. Now, I suggested to him that this is a better Twitter picture than the one he's got, and he has rejected it. Resume Strategy, who is not here listening today, she told him it's an upgrade. I want to know what everybody...
I like this one.
Okay, I want to know what everybody thinks if it makes him look a little bit more cool, because he's the oldest 26-year-old or 27-year-old you ever want to meet.
Yeah,
really?
He is. Definitely is.
He looks mid early 40s here, 38,
yeah.
40.
Anyway, yeah, I want to see if anybody disagrees with me that this is an improvement. Makes him look a bit more cool. It's his own picture. His wife took the picture. I just, you know, cut it down a bit. In the original, there's a whole big beach behind him.
Mm.
Does anybody like it? I can't waste too much time. The people who are listening to the recording, they can't see it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like it? Who says no? Nobody. Okay.
No,
hang on.
Looks fine.
It's a fake.
Okay.
Oh, his
looks
Twitter
fine.
Picture's better.
Is his really? Actual, this one's better?
No, the Twitter, the, his
Twitter
picture
Twitter
is
picture?
Better.
The one he's
I don't
actually
send
got.
All these guys' pictures like Animal does.
Okay, come on. Let's
yeah, if only he had a creepy puppet, it would be perfect.
Okay, and also, okay, something else, just a little showbiz. I got a special sound clip. I got a special, yeah, I always wanted to have music for all the regulars. I've never succeeded at that, but I have this one now.
Nice.
All I need is Jerry, where are you going to?
Good.
Okay, and anyway, so that's showbiz.
You know what we don't do? We don't sing anymore.
Wait, I got a song. Hold on.
Cool.
But first I have a personal question. I got a lot of good response eventually from, you know, the stuff about sweating. So now I got another problem. I've been buying this frilly, you know, red leaf lettuce, and I can't ever
really
clean it out enough. There's always sand in it, you know, and a little piece of sand can break your tooth.
Soak it in a water bath.
I don't know. I haven't had any luck.
Is the topic how to rinse off lettuce?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Jerry,
anybody else have anything?
Homemade.
Anything?
No, it has to go with his homemade mayo, right?
Oh, yeah. I got that issue as well. Okay.
Soak it, animal, in a water bath.
Speaking of lettuce, the rabbits got my lettuce in my garden. They got two.
That's for your after show, Jerry. Okay, save the
muskrat
and the lettuce and the ducks and all that stuff for the after show. Okay, now getting right down to the real stuff. I saw Phyllis Mufson today. you know, she should have kept her own name when she got married. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was quoting, she RT'd Peter Clayton. That's a great name. And he said that 64% of the dates on previous jobs, I guess on people's resumes, they're inaccurate. 64%. Who's that? And that's the number one reason for no offer. That sounds untrue to me, just intuitively. Anybody else got an opinion?
Number one reason?
Why are they comparing? How are they? How do they know? Are they comparing?
You know, well, what are you calling from your car? Why can't you ever call on a good phone, Rayanne? I really.
Because I am busy. I'm a busy person. That's why.
Okay. Now let's back up again and talk about that statistic again.
Yeah.
Is it 64% of the times that they thought they were going to make an offer and then decided they wouldn't?
So
64% of candidates are rejected just because they lied on the resume.
If you'd be quiet a second, I'll tell you. 64% of the dates on the resumes are inaccurate, and that's the number one reason for deciding against giving an offer to that person.
Oh, you know that's not true.
Okay, good. That's the answer. Okay, here's something else from Phyllis Muffson. I was looking at her site today. She said LinkedIn.
Hold on a second, though. Maureen, these people that Animal's bringing up, can you find their Twitter name and then post that in the @Animal feed for us?
Maureen, you should say, why do I have to do it?
That's what you do.
No, she doesn't.
Well, that's okay. What you're supposed to do.
Okay.
Spell their names.
Anyway.
Spell their names, because these are difficult spellings.
Yeah, I thought you had it on the list.
P-A-Y-L-L-I-S, that's Phyllis, M-U-F-S-O-N, Muffson. Anyway, she says that LinkedIn is offering 1 month free of its premium job seeker account, and that's a powerful offer. I didn't realize job seeker account. That's not for us. That's for job seekers. So
I saw that tweet, but I couldn't find the information on.
She didn't give a link. She didn't give a link. Big mistake. Anyway, here's another guy. I just saw him today. I know this is petty stuff. I'm just warming up. This guy, Ryan Anderson, his location is Greater Toronto Area. This is on Twitter. Why not just Toronto? Greater Toronto Area. You know, like, so maybe he's on the edge. You know, really. And then his bio says accomplished human resources professional. Accomplished. Does that say anything? It's meaningless. You know, and I'm wondering who tells these people to put these stupid things in their profiles? You know, I don't think they come up with it on their own.
What makes them accomplished? What is the
criteria accomplished,
for being accomplished?
Congratulations. You know, he doesn't say anything about himself.
You made it. He made it till 5 o'clock every day, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, or maybe he's just been, you know, he's been there for 5 years. Doesn't say anything about his achievement.
He got a good start.
Anyway, everybody might remember of my suck-up philosophy of Twitter, how it's really good to RT people and they'll like you. But you know what? Jerry was complaining to me the other day that he doesn't like it when you RT too many people in the RT, because then there's no space for the actual link to the article.
Well, I didn't say that.
Sorry, I thought you did, Jerry.
Somebody else, not me. That doesn't bother me at all.
I've thought it myself, but here's the solution to that. You're really RTing the people. You really are teeing the people to suck up to them, to show them, you know, like, I'm nice to you. You have to be nice to me. So you can just forget the link to the article. Just put in the RTs. That's what I started doing when there's a lot of RTs. I just say, great resume ideas, RT so-and-so, and I leave the link out. Gives you extra space for RTs. It's a good tip for everybody, and it's for free on the Animal Show. Okay.
Except that, like what we were just asking, if there was a link to the Peter Clayton quote.
Okay.
You know what? There was no link, so
You know what? You know what? You're doing it for the people who you're RTing. You're not doing it for people to find the link. Don't you get it? If I RT you, I'm sucking up to you. All I care is that you see your name repeated on Twitter. It doesn't matter.
Do
you don't care if the link is there.
Okay, hold on then. Do you then expect them to say, oh, thank you for the RT, Animal? Because that's what's bugging me lately.
But they'll remember you. They will remember. If you do it regularly, they're going to say, hey, Jerry's a swell guy.
Do you want them to thank you or not, yes or no?
No, I don't want thanks.
Who does? Anybody?
Everybody. Okay, go ahead.
Everybody but you?
I don't want thanks.
Well, why is everybody doing it?
I guess
it's educational.
They think
you want it. It's important
to send
that
out. I think it's a good suck-up idea, Jerry. I honestly do. Because on Twitter, I've said it before, what you're doing is you're promoting yourself. So if someone else promotes your name out there, Well, hell, that's gravy. Anyway, let's move on. Anybody else got something to say about that? No. Okay. So here's another quote I saw on Twitter. It's by Kay Jones, KC. I can't remember her actual name, but
Christy Jones?
I don't know. It's Kay Jones, KC. So that's all you have to know. And she quotes Sylvie Dahl. S-Y-L-V-I-E-D-A-H-L. And she says, remember the three M's. Don't email or post anything you don't want your mother, media, or mentors to see. Well, you know what? I once played a recording over the phone of JD and me arguing about Recruit Fest for my mother, and she said, what are you yelling at each other for? So if I would have listened to my mother, you wouldn't be listening to me. I wouldn't have a show. So I'm saying, don't worry about what your mother wants when you're on Twitter or when you're writing your blog. Let your mother have her own account and read that.
No,
that's her business.
No, disagree.
It's been a while since I've cared about what the media reads of mine.
We're the media. We're the media.
Oh, we are.
Can we have a short segment? Can we have a short segment on interesting people, new interesting people to follow, kind of like a Follow Friday, only a animal show follow?
Recommendation? I'm going to do the porcupine technique on you. Are you saying that because you've got somebody who you want to suggest?
Yes.
Who is it?
If you like James Carville, he just came on Twitter, Ragin Carville.
Oh, jeez.
How do you spell it?
RAGINCARVILLE.
Thank you.
Well,
you
got
right.
Indy.
Jerry, are you going to follow James Carville?
I like to watch his stuff on the weekend.
Yeah, you might like following him, Jerry. Anybody else have interesting people they just discovered?
I just follow Jerry. That's all I do. I've given up on everyone else.
So all RT the good stuff. You know that.
That's
hey,
right.
That
anything
Jerry,
else? I've already seen it, and you didn't need it.
Is that Jerry Jeff Lipschultz there?
Yes, sir.
You know what? I could
Johnny
tell you,
Jeff.
You're one of the. I went through your page because you've disappeared. You know the Twitter is almost a Borman free zone now, and a Jerry Jeff Lipschultz free zone. You guys are never around. So I actually went your. I featured your page.
Oh, quiet, Bulman, free animal.
Oh, he's there, too. What do you know?
That's awesome.
But thanks for the suck-up.
Okay.
Hey, Bill. Hi, Bill Bulman.
Oh, yeah, how you doing?
Timing
okay.
is everything.
Anyway, I want to go through a few more things before I get to Jerry Jeff, okay? There's this guy, I was reading him on the Career Rocketeer, published an article by two guys, and said they were both fantastic experts. And so one guy went over to his name is BNIVA on Twitter, BNIVA. Anyway, so this is what the first thing I saw on his page. Ready to rock today, exclamation mark. It's a gorgeous day, and my Friday is packed with revenue-generating action. How is your day looking?
Is that so?
That is so forced. What you say, Leanna? BS, yeah. I mean, really, is that an expert? He's a social media expert.
No, he's not. An expert
yeah.
what? Self-promotion.
Okay.
What's his
I
name?
Need a rock today. And anyway, BNIVA. BNIVA.
And
is there
a social media expert guy?
I think
As
so.
In beneath you.
Take a look at it. And in their article, the two guys, I forget what it was about, but they used this line. A good networker has two ears and one mouth and uses them for more proportionately. If you use that line in an article, you're an idiot, okay? It's so hackneyed, and it's a put-down. You got two ears and one mouth? You got two ears so you can hear from both sides of your head, not because you should listen all the time. People who are listeners are boring. Listeners are boring. Listening is overrated. If you go somewhere, you go to a lecture? Do you go to listen to the guy? Yeah. But you're listening. You're paying him to talk. You don't go to listen to a listener. Listeners don't have anything to say.
Did everybody notice Animal get really uncomfortable on a house party when there was a silence on the phone?
Yeah, I didn't want it to be a crappy show. I was the guest. I didn't want it to be crappy. What's wrong with that?
No,
that
guy's, it was great. It was perfect.
That guy's Twitter name just keeps – I just keep having this image of that Sally Fields Boniva commercial. once a day, Boniva?
I don't know.
Really,
I don't know.
Really
once a month.
No, it's, oh, is it once a month?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not that big a deal then.
I thought it was once a year.
Once a month for brittle bones.
Yeah, poor Sally Field.
Because it sucks to get old.
Sally.
You know what I was wondering? This is not for Twitter or anything, but I was watching those Jason Bourne movies recently. And the whole way through, the guy's, you know, he's really unhappy with himself. Who am I? You know, what am I? And all that stuff. Everybody in the audience wants to be Jason Bourne, obviously, right?
Who is that?
Running from life. The Bourne Identity? The Bourne Identity?
Yeah, he's Superman. He's a Superman. He's unhappy. Everybody wants to be him, beating everybody up. I don't get it.
And hiding from who he really is.
I don't know.
Anyone. He doesn't know who he is.
He doesn't
Animal.
Know who he is. What?
Animal.
Yeah.
This is so exciting that I'm texting my girlfriend on my cell phone.
What? Yeah, okay. Okay, well, at least you're not washing your dishes.
No, but... You have to bring it up a notch. Come on.
Okay. Well, here.
Talking about what's happened to poor Penelope?
I don't know. That's not our business here.
She's dropped off the radar.
Oh,
okay, that's not
yeah,
our business.
So sad.
Okay. Anyway, I was reading an article. It says that men just need a millisecond to choose the right girl. They're programmed to do that. And I read also, and I sent this article to Penelope a few years ago, that people just need a few seconds to assess somebody's competence. And they gave a bunch of pictures to students of CEOs in the Fortune 100 or something like that. I think they gave 25 pictures. And the students picked they ranked them. Who's the most successful CEO? They didn't even know those people. But they ranked them correctly according to their photographs, apparently, for the most part. Anybody agree with me? You can
well, can I tell the story about my friend Toby? My friend Toby.
Sure.
My friend Toby, when I was a young woman, told me, and she was an older woman, and she had a lot of experience with men. She said, Maureen, when a man is like a chicken. One day he'll get up, and it's like a little chicken coming out of its egg. He'll get up, he'll walk outside, and the first woman he sees that day, if he's ready to get married, that's who he'll marry.
What?
Yeah, like
chickens get married.
That's crazy talk
the first,
right there. That's
the
just crazy
woman,
talk.
The first woman he lays
on,
that a man that a man is like a chicken coming out of an egg, that he has to get to a certain point in his life. He has to mature to a certain point.
Yeah, okay,
and
it's getting boring.
And have a hankering for some eggs.
It happens in a millisecond, just like
okay,
you said before.
A couple more things before we get to Lipschultz, the Lipschultz blog. Okay, Tori Johnson posted a quote from Donna Brazile that said, if everyone likes you, it probably means you aren't saying much. I don't think that's true.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
It's totally true.
Yeah, I think it's true, too.
What?
You take a stand on something, and you're going to piss at least one person off.
That's right.
Exactly. Uh-huh. It means you're noncommittal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, it means you're nonconformist. That's
it means you know how to not be a dick.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if that's
not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Okay. Anyway, right. So now we're at the Lipschultz portion of the show. I went through his page, Jerry Jeff's page, and just to see what he was putting out there for everybody to read, and I actually read his stuff, right? And the first thing I came across was Jerry's posting about never giving freebies. Now, Jerry, you placed an intern or something like that, right? And you didn't know what to charge? Yeah, you didn't know what to charge. Is that right, Jerry?
At first, but then it kind of dawned on me.
That was his littlest place.
My littlest place.
That was a great post.
Yeah, but you thought they kind of wanted you to give it to them as a freebie, right?
You know, there was a couple topics there, but possibly. I considered it myself as well.
So what did you charge?
$1,152.
How'd you get to that one?
He based it on his fee times the amount of hours that the kid was going to work.
He's going to work for 12 weeks at $12 an hour. Yep.
Mm. Interesting.
Jerry and I talked about it at length, right, Jerry?
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you would rip off my article and we're making a bunch of
money. I'm impressed.
I didn't
know
your
you
article.
Could ever charge. I mean, Jerry, the very fact that you got a fee for an intern is incredible.
Let me see. I'm going to Lipschultz's site.
I didn't talk about it. He's talking about Twitter, Jerry.
Okay, so your philosophy is never give anything away for free in your business. Is that
never.
Right?
I commented on your deal there, Jerry, though.
I love it.
To back you up. Yeah, I'm there. I got your back,
well,
bro.
Well, you know what? Don't
I don't know if it's
ass.
About never,
what
never
did you
give
comment?
Anything for free. I mean, it's your core service, no, but I do free stuff probably, but not.
That was a goodwill gesture by Jerry. That was a goodwill gesture. Jerry, he's hoping for more business down the road. Right, Jerry?
Jerry's on the phone.
What do you pay Jerry for the after show, Animal?
Okay, you know what? Leave the Jerry talk for the after show. You know, Lip Schultz also wrote a posting himself. First of all, Jerry Jeff, now that you're here, I'll tell you, every one of your every one of your links goes to your own blog where you have like a couple of lines, and then you have to click over to another site to read the article. That pisses me off. I don't like that at all.
I know it is. I know. I could just send you to AOL, but then you'd never go to my website at all. And I just
wanted
that.
Who cares about your website? If you're publishing your article somewhere else, what do you care about your own website for? I mean, like, what's the point of making me go there?
Because sooner or later, I'm still going to post to my own website. I'm just so damn busy, Animal. I just can't. I can't blog that much.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I'm sorry to disappoint you.
So,
anyway,
Jeff, do you have a blog somewhere else, Jeff? And you just have like some front landing page?
Well, I'm writing for AOL now, and so I, you know, I post a tidbit on that article on my own blog, which I've been doing for a while now. That's where people discovered it in the first place and got me over to AOL. So I feel loyalty to my own blog still.
And what's AOL? Okay,
that's boring. Forget it. Enough. Oh, come on.
I told you it would be boring. I warned you, Animal. I warned you.
I got a question for you. The show's going downhill.
Oh, my.
It started out that way.
Jeff, since you're here, you wrote an article that said hunting for a job is like supporting a losing baseball team. Am I right?
God, that's an old one. Yeah, way back.
You reposted it. You reposted it.
Yeah, okay. So go on.
So why is it? Why is it supporting the Cubs, being a Cubby, is like looking for a job? Does that mean you're never going to find a job?
It feels at times. It feels like it, and you got to be dedicated to the cause, like most Cub fans are. They continually go every day to keep supporting the cause, and sometimes you get really close to getting it, and you don't.
Yeah.
What's
okay.
That?
And the last time they won was like, what, 100 years ago?
Over 100 years ago. So God willing, I hope people don't take 100 years to find a job. That's obviously, we're not using metrics like that.
That's a funny thing to tell a job hunter. Support a team that's been losing for 100 years. That's just like supporting yourself. Okay. And then you posted another one. You posted another one from Culver Careers, and it was every job seeker needs to blog. You know, what about poor writers? Do you believe that, Jerry Jeff?
Oh, what if they're poor writers? Yeah, that's a tough one for me. I was at that recruiting deal in Madison, and we talked about that a little bit, and they said even if you're a poor writer, Rayanne, back me up on this, you should blog.
Come
because
on.
You're getting and I disagreed
absolutely
a little bit,
disagree.
And we got into a little bit of discussion about that, and I said, to me, at minimum, I think you need to have someone check your work, and that doesn't take that much effort. You just need somebody who's a decent writer to look over your stuff.
You know what? If
Jeff,
blogging
I
isn't
referencing finding out about yourself, though, and you don't have to publish what you write.
That's not blogging. That's keeping a journal, okay, Rayanne?
That's what it is. Oh, my God.
That's journaling, Rayanne.
Yeah. Okay, I got the word. You know, blogging is good.
But here's
journal
something.
I started like 13 years ago, and I've done 2 pages in it. Anybody want to read it?
Yeah, but here's something
about... Yeah, but you're not a job seeker, Jerry.
Let Maureen talk. Come on.
Here, something about poor writing. Just because somebody can't write or can't spell or can't...
Maureen.
Doesn't mean they don't have good and interesting ideas.
No, that's true.
You know
I'm saying that.
You don't want to tell us their
weaknesses.
It means that they can't communicate good ideas.
I got to tell you something. That guy, Jason Fried, I'm coming to another article by Jason Fried later on if we ever get there. And he said resumes are useless. They're just full of phony garbage. But he likes cover letters. And he says the person who can write better is the better candidate. So bad writing and bad ideas, according to him, Maureen, go together. Okay?
I didn't say bad ideas.
Bad writing is just an impression you can get about somebody. It's a bias.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
Let me answer the question, okay? Let me answer the question. Blogging is good if you can write half decently so that when someone is actually interested in you, you say, you want to find out about what I know professionally? Check out my articles on my blog. And
so
then
you agree.
Can get,
wow,
can,
that's good.
No. But this woman, Jeff, that you published says every job seeker needs to blog.
Well, any statement that has every or always or never is not correct, right,
okay.
Mr. English major? Right?
Okay, fine. Yeah, okay.
Usually.
Okay. Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Talk about that free stuff.
Jeff, let me talk, okay? Then you published something by Meg Giuseppe, whom I usually like, and she started off her entry saying, nothing works like a blog called yourname.com. You know, that's not true. And I said to her, I took her to task. I said, how do you know nothing works like that? Give me a list of job hunters who got jobs through their blogs. She said, you'd write the article differently than me, obviously. That was her answer, okay? Nothing works like a blog called yourname.com. No proof. It's not true. Okay? Blogs are for like 1% of the population. Okay. No proof. Okay.
Let's talk about that freebie thing having no value that you brought up before.
Freebie.
We really didn't address that.
What else do you have to say, Maureen? We'll just let
I don't
you
have anything to say. I don't
okay,
have
to talk about it. It's done. It's done. It's done.
Hey,
here, which.
Are we supposed
Jeff...
to just be hammering Lipschultz here, or what?
Yeah, just
yeah,
keep
well,
going.
Why not?
Oh.
I used him as an example. I didn't think he'd be around. He's never, you know.
Oh, so you're going to bring this all up today without me being here? I'm so glad I was
why
here.
Why not?
Yeah,
Bill Borman.
Glad you're here
Bill,
to defend yourself.
Bill Borman, do you have anything to say? Bill Borman, do you have anything to say?
No, I'm just listening in.
Okay.
You carry on.
Bill,
feel free,
what do you think of the show so far, Bill?
You know what? That's for your show. You rate it on your show, okay?
Full.
He didn't want to hear the answer.
Man.
I don't want to hear the answer. Leave him for his show. Okay, here's another one from Lipschultz. You got an article.
Keep going. Yeah, let's go.
The last one he told
you. I feel like I'm the guest today. Yeah.
The last time he told you to support a losing team, supporting a losing team is like
Way
supporting
back to
yourself.
That?
Yeah, this time he says bike ride to work. He said that's going to help you. You're going to meet other bikers who are full of job tips. And you want to talk about that a little, or should I go through your ridiculous ideas?
That's just networking, man. And it was Bike to Work Day, and AOL wanted something on that, so I gave him something.
Okay, so now we know the secret.
I'm a sellout. What?
Yeah, you're doing what they tell you to, not what
not
you
always.
Really believe. Right?
Not always, just once in a while.
Okay.
Once in a while. But you know, biking to work, it's like any hobby. It's like anything else. It could be runners. It could be whatever. You know, even for recruiters, we all need to meet more people so that we increase our odds of getting a new client
Who
or getting a job or whatever.
Who meets people on
Dude,
a bicycle?
Do you ride a bike? Hey, Animal, do you ride a bike?
Not on a regular basis.
Then you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. You meet tons of people out riding. Go to the hotter than hell in Texas. You have a chance to meet 14,000 people all riding and hanging out, and you have something in common. Let me finish. And you have something in common with all of these people. So you have an icebreaker with all these folks. You start by talking about that, and then you say, "So where do you work? What do you do?" Things like this. It's networking, Animal. It's plain and simple. And you can do it on a bike. You can do it while you're going to a marathon. You can do it.
I could tell you the truth, Judy Reynolds. Judy Reynolds posted on Facebook in response to my posting about your article. She said, if you bike to work in Texas where you live, you better take a change of clothes and have the opportunity to take a shower at your job.
So don't do it in Texas. Do it wherever you want. Do it in Canada where it's nice and cold. But you can. Two people do bike to work in Texas, okay? They do have showers and stuff in the gyms that some of these companies have. It happens.
I got a question. Animal, what are you more against, biking to work or getting to know your clients in person?
Oh, there we go. Jerry, I love
Good
you, man.
Good question.
Just trying to get it on there.
It's
what
the same thing.
You
know the answer.
It's a tough choice. Okay. Okay, here's what he said.
What's your answer?
I don't have an answer. You're not asking the questions here. Here's what Jerry Jeff says. He says you might have an interviewer who is an avid cyclist. That's a good reason to instead of getting on the bus or driving your car, that's a good reason to get on the bus.
How about just exercise? How about just some exercise, Animal? Sounds like you need to get out more. You do look a little pasty in your videos.
This was a recommendation for job hunters on how to get a job.
It's like 10 things. It's like one of the things you could throw on the list. It's not the reason.
No, they're all like that, my friend. Okay,
dude. When
my
you
friend,
when
are
you
friendly?
Blog all the time.
Are you friendly?
Come up with some material.
What
is this? The Lipschultz show?
Yeah, it is
no,
today, Bill.
I thought we were
talking about the Twitter stream.
Yeah. Okay, Bill. So I was wondering, what's on the Twitter stream? And I happened on Jerry Jeff Lipschultz's blog, and I said, you know, I'm going to do him a favor. He's not around so much, so we'll talk a bit about him. And we'll look at his Twitter page, a microblog.
You thought you'd suck up to him a little.
Oh, he doesn't need to do that.
Well, it sounds more like rip and slash to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got a question for Maureen.
Okay, go ahead.
Maureen, did you sort out whether there's any value or merit in unfollowing people who do not tweet?
Let's see.
What's your
the reason I unfollowed people was so that I could follow more because it was stopping me.
Quality, not quantity, right?
No, that's not it. Let me explain it to Maureen.
They don't ever tweet.
No, Maureen didn't explain it well. If you're under 2,000, Twitter only lets you...
Is 2,000 the magic number?
Yeah, that's
the
magic
number. They have to match.
Twitter only lets you follow 2,000 people until you have about 2,000 followers of your own. Once you get to hit the 2,000 point, then you have to have a proportionate, almost equal amount of followers and to follow more people. And so Maureen didn't mention that, so she got rid of a lot of dead wood, people who never post. She stopped
following people
them.
Who haven't tweeted since 2009.
Yeah, okay. That's what I just said,
Maureen.
And before.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
But she deleted them so she could follow more people. If that makes sense. But if you're over 2,000, you've got like tons of porno guys and pet stores following you like I do, you don't have to worry about that. And you don't want to delete those porno guys or pet stores or internet marketers, any irrelevant followers, because they give you the power to follow more people on your like Twitter bank account.
So you want to follow less people than follow you, right?
It doesn't matter, but when you're under 2,000, it does.
Under 2,000 followers or following?
When you're following under 2,000 and you get to the 2,000 point, yeah, you got to cut your people, okay?
So if I have 2,000 followers, can I follow 4,000?
No, you can follow, you know, maybe 2,100. I don't know what the proportion is exactly.
Okay.
You got to keep them close together.
Yeah,
they
but what you're saying,
you
what it
ahead.
Sounds like you're saying, Animal, is that you cut followers. I didn't cut followers. I cut those I was following.
You said in your original posting.
I know. I was wrong. I was wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was wrong. I admitted that.
Does anyone know what that number is where Twitter stops you?
2,000.
Yeah. Do they have that written down somewhere, or is this just folklore?
It's an urban legend that works.
Has anyone ever not been able to follow
people? It's about where I hit trouble. It's about where I hit trouble.
Let Bill talk, please.
Maureen, did it reach a point where it just said you can't follow any more people? Like
yeah, that's what happened. That happened to me.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that one?
Okay. No, just never heard of that, so I thought that was...
Well, that's because you're so popular, you got so many porno people following you that you never
had that problem. I stole all your pet shops, that's what it is.
I have a question for Jerry.
For me?
Jerry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
don't put me
I'd like to know,
please.
You know, a lot of us do business virtually nowadays, but you actually go and meet with customers, right?
That rumor is true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that successful? I mean, what percentage of those that you meet with do you end up doing business with? Or is it too new of an activity to really be able to gauge?
How can it not be successful?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, let him answer the question, Boy
of
Wonder.
Of course it's successful.
No, he goes and visits people who are already his clients.
Not
isn't that the case?
No, if I'm going to recruit for a company and they're somewhere within 4 or 6 hours and they'll let me come meet with them, then I go meet with them.
Recruiting for them. You're already recruiting for them, right?
Can I answer my own question?
You've got to make it clear your answer, or I'll answer it for you.
I go meet every company I plan to recruit for. And I certainly meet every company that I do recruit for.
Okay.
And I have always met, unless they're in Vancouver or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jerry,
I'm going to go meet them. I mean...
potential customer, do you go meet them?
That's what he said.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but
if somebody wants me to recruit for them and they're around here.
No, that's different. That's different. If you're not recruiting for them, if they haven't given you an order, do you ask them, can I take you to lunch?
Yes.
Is that your question, Maureen, or are you asking
to
recruit for them that has not hired anyone from me?
It is
there
kind
is
of
a
my question.
Animal, and I'm trying to discern that. You obviously skipped past that.
It is my question. I'm wondering about in your new business development efforts, if meeting with potential new customers is effective, what percentage of those you meet with do you end up doing business with?
A high percentage. I meet with anybody that will meet with me. It's my MO.
Jerry, how many people
do you meet
with? How many people do you meet with who have not given you an order. Zero, right?
No, I meet with people that have not given me an order. Sure.
Okay.
You want me to go down a list of them?
Yeah.
No. Is there a way to recognize that? looking at it overall, is there a way? Let's call it a waste of time. I know it's not a waste of time.
It's never been a waste of time to me.
I know. I understand that. But is there a way to recognize that? Are there any warning signals early?
Warning signals, what do you mean?
That they're not going to turn out to be any kind of business for you.
If there's a company that I would like to recruit for, and I've
mm-hmm.
talked to the person, and I've said, hey, I'm going to be in Grand Rapids next week. Can I stop by and say hello?
Mm-hmm.
If they say no, then
mm-hmm.
that would be – that tells me something. If they say yes,
right.
stop on in, that tells me something.
Right.
You know?
How often do you do that, that you're going to call somebody up and ask to take them out when you've never done business with them before?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you've never done
what?
It. Okay.
What,
you've never
what do you
done
mean
it.
You've never done it. I'm doing it next Monday and Tuesday.
I have a question.
Okay.
Have you been
yeah,
on the way on the way to a client and said, you know, this ain't going to work, or a potential client, this ain't going to work, rolling your eyes, but you're going to take a stab at it anyway?
I write down the company names of places that I see on my way to my client visit, and I call those people, and I tell them that I was on my way to the one place, saw their place, and would like to stop by the next time I'm on my way.
Oh,
I've
that's an interesting
that.
Technique.
I've done that 100 times,
oh, well,
animal.
Sure.
That's an interesting technique.
Is 100 a good enough number for you?
Yeah. Do you have any results of those 100?
You want to see my personal billings, lifetime
no,
to date,
year to
date?
I
want to
know the results from doing that.
I
know. What do I have
yes,
to show
I
all
meet
the
people. I meet people. I stop in. I visit. I say hello.
You're so
I get
vague.
To know them.
Shame on you.
How
shame
is that
on
vague?
You.
No,
oh, that's
I
not
think
vague.
Animal, I think what he's talking about could be very, very effective, and I think many of us have lost sight of that.
You know what? How is it vague saying that I call people, introduce myself, and ask if I can come meet them in person? How
that's
is that vague?
I asked for the results. I asked for the results, and you didn't give it.
Animal,
why
can I just make an observation on this? I think it's really interesting that we're talking about meeting customers as being this
yeah.
brand new concept.
Yeah. Why are we amazed
that
something that's working
you know,
for
isn't that the
years?
Way we've always isn't that the way we've always
yeah.
done business? Meeting
well,
people, and now we're saying, well, we've come up with this new.
You're right, Bill.
My
Many
grandfather traveled
to
door-to-door selling suitcases. I mean, mm-hmm. what happened before Twitter? I don't understand why we're all amazed at this
I don't
new
understand
concept.
What we're talking about. You know, really, you guys are making the show terrible, okay?
No, Animal, you're trying to make it seem like I've never done that, and because I don't have a list here that says I have placed 113 people with companies that didn't know me before I called, that hadn't done business, but they let me stop by and visit, that number would be absurd. There's no way to come up with that number starting now, looking backwards. I know, as a successful recruiter, that meeting clients, whether you're recruiting for them or not at the time, is hugely beneficial.
No, don't get the words. That's meeting a prospect, okay? That's not meeting a client, okay? The guy's not your client yet.
A prospect,
but
okay.
He's going to stand out from the recruiter who just calls him on the phone. I'm sorry. I think he's doing an awesome thing.
Let's take
I agree.
An example. I mean, Animal, you want examples. In April, I drove to Wausau, Wisconsin, 9 hours from here. They owe me $19,000 right now because of the guy that started there 3 weeks ago.
Placed by Tom Guger, I might add.
Hey, Tom! Yeah, Tom's in on it with me. He got my
yeah.
email, eh?
Yeah.
You know hey, what? Jerry, you know that picture? You had a picture up of you sitting in a customer or a potential customer's office
yeah.
of your shoes.
Yeah.
That's a really
yeah.
cool picture.
Well, which one? I've put up.
I don't know. There was one with you had shoes up on a table.
You're talking up to him today. What's up,
yeah,
Lori?
Because I think we've lost sight, some of us have lost sight of what Jerry's doing and the effectiveness of it.
Animal hasn't lost sight of it. He's never seen it to begin with.
I got to tell you, Jerry just lied kind of. He gave he stretched the truth a minute ago, and I happen to know it. That company in Wausau, that's a division of someone he's been working with for some time, and he already had an order with them. He just dropped by to see them, okay?
Oh, now you're saying you only want examples of companies that out of the blue
she
I just stopped in like
prospects.
I'm selling a vacuum cleaner at the front door.
She asked you about prospects. Why don't you tell the truth? Come on. You know that's what she was asking.
To be fair.
You're the one not understanding this, Animal.
No, I
understand what Maureen is asking,
I'm
clearly.
I'm fighting for justice and authenticity.
Why are you so against meeting clients? It baffles me. You're losing your audience with that stance.
Okay.
I don't think he's losing his audience. It's an interesting argument. It's an interesting argument.
How can there even be an argument?
Jerry works in the Rust Belt. That's a fact. It's one of the worst markets in the country to work in. For what he does in building up relationships, he's one of the best there has ever been.
Okay, Tom Guger. He works with Jerry. He's biased. But I have to tell you, Tom, he was my guest 2 or 3 weeks ago. Tom, you are going to be up for a Recruiting Animal Award come January because of that story about Frankie. I think about it all the time and laugh my head off. Okay, didn't win everybody's heart, but I liked it, but I won't go into it now. Okay, so should we talk more about what Jerry does?
It didn't win everybody's heart.
You people don't realize, unless you've recruited in the Rust Belt, I mean, you're dealing with companies that half of them are either in bankruptcy or planning bankruptcy. And, yes, he does excellent. He does excellent for the market of Michigan, Ohio, Indiana.
Jerry, how do you sell that to your candidates? How do you sell that to your candidates? You're about to work for a company that's in bankruptcy or about to go into bankruptcy. That's a hard sell, isn't it?
Jerry, Jeff, good one.
I try to highlight the positive stuff.
You work my laptop in a car in there.
Well, nowadays people are in such desperate need.
Hey, if
you're outside
there
of the Rust Belt, why would relationship building ever be a bad thing? With Rayanne, I see the need for it in L.A., in a big city where nobody talks to each other. I think going to companies, knowing who you are, it's got to be a good thing.
I'm still flabbergasted that Animal does not believe in visiting with people that you either are recruiting for or would like to.
You know what, Jerry? You want me to answer that question right now? I was sitting today at Starbucks beside a young woman who was visiting. It looked like that very situation. A middle-aged guy was going to – she was representing her company. And it was awkward. It was just plain awkward. Luckily, the guy kept the conversation going. They were talking about his netbook and his son's business and Trinidad. I think maybe that's where her family originally came from. She wasn't holding up her conversation. Let me finish. It's just like blogging. If you're not a good blogger, don't blog. If you're not a good talker, don't go meet people, okay?
But you're saying nobody should. No cupcakes.
I didn't say that. No, I didn't. Jerry's got a gift of gab, okay? It's a little different.
I don't know. What I'm hearing is she wasn't selling. She wasn't selling well, right?
If you're not good at talking with people, you shouldn't be in recruiting in the first place.
Thank you.
You know what? There's all kinds of people who are recruiters, introverts, extroverts, cold fish.
They might be sorcerers. They may not be recruiters.
I've got to say that meeting a client is one of the top two or three things that you can do to know where to spend your time. If you get some job order from a client emailed to you, if many recruiters are of the mindset that, well, meeting them would do no good, I'll just start working on this right away. Well, you're starting to work for somebody that hasn't really, really shown you that they want you to recruit for them. So you ask them, great, I'd like to stop by and meet with you tomorrow afternoon or Monday morning. If they say no, then you shouldn't even be recruiting on that animal, period.
Good.
And if they say yes, you should immediately be in their office and cover it.
What about that woman from Union Grove, Jerry?
Yeah.
Should we tell that story?
Absolutely.
Is there a song attached to that?
They didn't even let him in. Hey, I forgot the song. Well, let's see. Come on, let's see. Should we sing now?
Well, I just wonder if there's a song about the woman from Union Grove.
Okay, come on, we're going to sing.
That's a punchline.
I don't know who knows the lyrics, but everyone will recognize the song, okay? Let me see if I remember them.
Oh, baby. Hey, baby. How was I supposed to know?
I'm officially sorry I asked. I apologize to everyone on the call.
Oh, baby. I shouldn't have let you go.
Come on, everybody.
Show me how you want it, baby. Tell me, baby.
Nobody's singing.
Okay. I apologize, everyone. I'm sorry for bringing
that
up.
That was amazing.
That's a bad version.
That's a great version. There's 15 people on the line. Does anybody want to say anything who hasn't had a chance to talk?
Yeah, tell us what else has come up in the Twitter stream, because I'm... What else have you picked up on apart from Jerry, or do you only read Jerry's and Jeff's?
I got tons of stuff here, but there's 10 minutes. Does somebody have something they'd like to say that they've seen on Twitter or a blog they want to tell us about? Anybody got something? Don't be shy.
Can we stop using the word talent to mean people?
I hate that.
Are you
sick of it?
Yeah, okay. But
everybody is not talent.
Okay. Did I say people who haven't talked, Jerry? I want to give a chance to the people who haven't said anything. Just be quiet for a minute to get them, you know, the courage to come forward.
I saw a Twitter post that said I was a sailboater, and I was kind of offended by that, if I could throw that out there.
What was
you're
it?
A what?
Animal called me a sailboater. I'm not a sailboater. And then I bore people with my catamaran.
A what?
A jailboater?
Oh, that's Mike.
Sailboater.
Oh, a sailboater.
Mike Astringer, first of all, you're on a crappy line, okay, but you're not the guest. But I can't listen if I can't hear you. Secondly, do you have any critiques of Jerry? I understand you've had some in the past.
I love Jerry's personality, but I've always, for the 12 or 15 years I've known him, have had respect for his abilities and his success as a recruiter.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then nobody else wants to say anything. I'm giving them everybody time to come forward, all the chickens, all the people who feel they're too polite, they don't want to butt in. Now,
chickens, the ones who mate with whatever comes by.
Oh, you know what? Okay, John.
Whatever their eye falls on that day.
Wait a second. I got something. I held back on some of my best material to give this woman a chance to come on this show. Job search for execs. And now she leaves me a message on Twitter that she's not clear she'd have anything to contribute. I coach execs, not recruit. Okay, so I'm going to read her article now. You know, sometimes I'm too nice. I wanted to start off with this material because I knew it was exciting. And, you know, now I have to do it in the last 10 minutes of this show. That wasn't nice of you. Anyway.
Can I say something?
No. Well, what do you want to say?
I have a question over on LinkedIn, and I ask what the recruiting challenges are for small business, and if
okay,
any of you are interested in it.
I'm not interested. I want to get to this. Didn't you hear I say I want to do it, and I only got 10 minutes left?
Yeah, that article sucked, Maureen.
It's not an article. I just asked a question. What article sucked?
The one that you sent that pointed to the small businesses having a problem competing with unemployment.
Oh, that was a Twitter I saw. Somebody
people make more money on unemployment than I can pay them. Well, then.
Oh, that was a comment on that string. That's why I'm asking if any of you have an interest
okay.
in recruiting for small
on,
business.
Please, Maureen, don't wreck my show. Talk about it on Jerry's show. Wreck his, okay?
Wow.
So here was an article.
Wreck your own, animal.
Here was an article called How to Win a Candidate's Heart, right?
That's
she said a whole bunch of things. How to win it, and this is for recruiters. And it says, identify yourself. That's the number one. Identify yourself when you contact me. Don't ask how I am or other empty questions. Tell me your name, company, intention, and contact information right away. So no chit-chat. Anybody object to that?
Sounds like something I wrote.
Okay.
Who said this?
Job search debug.
What, Jerry, you don't say your name either?
Of course I do.
Okay,
well,
number
two.
But that
job seeker is saying, you know, don't chit-chat with me. Don't ask me inane questions like how am I.
Just get to the point, okay?
Get to the point.
Yeah, okay. Number two. Number two, identify your client. Don't be cagey with me. I need to know if your client is a company I can work for. Is it against my non-compete? Have I already been introduced? Is there another recruiter representing me there? So many reasons for me to know up front who the client is.
Uh-oh.
Afraid I'll go around you? Don't be. I am experienced and have used recruiters to locate my own staffs. I value quality representation and know your client invited you to represent only the best. And if you decide to represent me, I have a leg up. If you have, I can't remember. Anyway, you get the idea. You can trust me. I trust you. Okay?
Jerry, what say you?
I just like people who are, for whatever reason, no longer in recruiting, suggesting how a recruiter needs to go about conducting business.
Okay.
I always find that interesting.
Who are you talking to? Right now, bud. I'm calling you out.
Oh. Who?
Who are you talking to, Jerry?
No, I'm to whoever Animal was just quoting there. Somebody that used to be a recruiter now knows how they want to.
I didn't say she used to be a recruiter. This is what her bill of rights for candidates are, essentially.
Oh, yeah, that's
you want,
absurd.
Don't be cagey with me. I need to know your client company. I'm not going to go around you. I'm not going to tell other people about your client.
Right.
That's totally wrong. Does everyone agree?
Agree.
Wrong. Wrong.
Does anybody agree with her?
Yes,
no.
I agree with her.
Maureen does. What about Astringer?
That's no surprise.
What about Astringer? Do you agree?
Figure is a woman.
Mike.
You agree
well,
with her?
He's retained for startup companies, so he might.
Okay, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, we talked about it. Okay, she says, don't ask me about other companies with which I'm interviewing. That's private, and I choose not to share it.
No. Disagree.
Yeah, that's both ways. She wants it both ways there.
Right.
Yeah.
She's not in charge, and I'd hang up on her, and
exactly.
Good luck in your job search.
Exactly.
Chump.
Goodbye.
I agree with her about that. I agree with her. Yes, because you know recruiters ask who else you're interviewing with so they can go there and send competition in
That's
against
not
you.
True.
Do they
That's
do that on
true.
The first call? Is this all on the first call? You're supposed to just call, state your name and your client's name, and just shut up?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, great.
No.
You know,
Ray,
so,
get a phone.
Animal, this sounds exactly like she's proposing you get in a fight with your recruiter before you even started any relationship. You're not going to get a job that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bill, you think it's okay to ask someone who else they're interviewing with, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've got to ask it. I think you've got to ask it in the right place in the conversation. I don't think the first thing you say to them is, who are you interviewing with? But in that conversation, you're going to do that. And I want to know that for two reasons. One, I want to know people who are out and about interviewing. And the other one, yeah, of course, as a recruiter, I want to generate some leads.
Everybody
yeah,
need to know where they are in the process.
That's not fair, Bill. That's not fair. That's underhanded.
That's
I'm going to say it straight.
But it doesn't
yeah.
mean she
it's
has to
not.
Answer. We're going to ask, okay? Everybody's got their own agenda. All right, and for somebody to dictate your agenda to my disadvantage, I'm not buying it. And that's what she's doing.
You
they can they can opt to just say I'm interviewing at two companies in town, and I'm at this stage and this stage, and at least the recruiter
yeah,
knows what the timeline is.
Exactly. Right. I think the other point, Animal, is what I take objection to is the way in which she's saying to deliver that statement.
Yeah.
You know, because she should really be encouraging job seekers to build good relationships with recruiters if she wants them to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I don't think it does that. If you take an aggressive stance in the beginning to say, oh, I'm not prepared to tell you that, I'm not ready to tell you my salary, I don't want to give you this information, you know, I'd be reluctant to send that person out to my client.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me, Randall?
What?
I guess you can hear me. I find this whole conversation very funny. People are saying this is stupid because the candidate is basically doing the same exact thing that recruiters do. You give some information. You want as much information as possible, and you want to give out as little information as possible
mm-hmm.
to someone who has their own interests.
Mm-hmm.
This person is saying that they want to act self-interestedly, which is the same thing that every recruiter in the space does when they have these conversations. It's the same exact thing, just with a different
recruiter. No, but Dave, what you're missing, though, is that this person is encouraging the candidate to offer no give and take. It's not a win-win.
Yeah.
It's a
withhold information.
Right. You call me, tell me who your client is.
You mean Jerry,
and I'm
Jerry,
not telling you anything.
Do you give out your customer's name? Your client's name when you talk to candidates?
Not in the first 20 words.
It's the same thing.
No,
I think that's the point. We're not going to say it in the opening, but into the relationship.
Right.
You know,
what,
not
exactly.
on the opening first call. I will start to talk. Once you build a relationship, you start to give out information about who you work with or
right.
clients
right.
you're working with. But you don't do that on the first call.
Right.
Okay, but Bill.
You build relationship, and isn't that more about building the relationship with somebody?
I would never advise anyone to tell a recruiter who else they're interviewing with because a recruiter is going to stab you in the back. That's how it works.
No, they aren't.
No,
they aren't, Animal.
But you can't
think
what
all of this is
all
about. Is that what you think this is, Animal?
Yes.
You can't know your market unless you have all the information on the table.
You have to know the timeline. It's to establish the
yeah.
team. Go back to the client or to the hiring manager and say, look, you're going to lose this guy if we don't move forward.
That's different, Rayanne. He doesn't have to tell you who's interviewing with to tell you
I'm
that.
I'm going to tell the candidate, first of all, that I'm never going to market anyone or call into any place that they're either interviewing or considering an offer. I never have, and I never will. However, for me to have jobs for everybody that I talk to, everybody needs to talk to me about what else is happening. What other places you've been introduced to that you didn't get an interview? Places you interviewed? No, it's not
that's
different.
Porcupine.
Yes, it is.
It's Porcupine.
No,
that's
it's not. It's
Jerry.
Telling them what's
if
going on.
If you ask them where they've been, come on, let's not break it down. If you ask them where they've been and they struck out, then they can give you that. You can call. You're not competing with them.
No.
If you ask them where they're interviewing now so you can send people
you
in
know,
there.
If you don't have an open relationship with your candidate, you're at a loss anyway.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on. She says, tell me what I need to know. And this is what she says a recruiter has to tell. Where is the job? Who does it report to? Why is it open? What are their top needs? What is the corporate culture like? Why do you feel my credentials are worth considering for this job?
Well, how are we supposed
idea.
To know this candidate's credentials if she won't say a word about who she is or what she's done? She can shove it.
Okay.
You're just supposed to believe her, Jerry. You're just supposed to believe her.
Give me an idea.
I'm a great candidate. I'm the right fit.
Give me an idea. I thought this was good. I thought this part was good. Give me an idea of the financial health of the company. How will this job fit my career goals? Now, it's true what you're saying. Some people say, look, you should have done more research on me before you called. And I've had people say that to me even before there was any internet, really. And so I would say, well, how am I supposed to know before I call you, okay?
Send me a resume and I'll research your ass off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Are we supposed to know these people's life story, call them up with exactly the job we think they might be interested in? This person's giving ridiculous advice.
I don't think it's all ridiculous, but I think one or two things
questionable. Those points are fine. Deeper once you've had whether it's a telephone screening or interview or face to face meeting. But to ask people asking that kind of level of questioning on their first call, you're going to get turned off that candidate straight away.
Yeah, so you're never going to get to that second.
You're not
going to
work. You're not
going to
work with him because I'm going to be thinking that without some kind of level of conversation and communication. If they're
Bill, what would you say to her calling her up? Tell us what you would say to her.
If I was calling someone, the first thing I want to get to is talk to them about, number one, before we start anything, let's talk about what you're looking for. Let's talk about what you're looking for and what you want. Once I've started to find out what they're looking for, then I'll talk to them about.
Well, what if they're not looking for anything?
What if
they're working somewhere?
Then why tell them who your client is and all that stuff, Maureen?
What?
What would be the point of that then? If they're not interested in anything.
Bill, what I wanted to hear from Bill is what he would say. You know, ding-a-ling-a-ling, hello. What would you say, Bill?
Oh, man. You're getting into my show time now.
Role play.
I'm into Jerry's show time, but let me just, I'm going to tell you, I'd like to have a chance. I was going to ask her to come in next week and talk about this.
Yeah, let's do it.
But she told me, she says, she deals with executives, not our kind of people. She just put it on Twitter.
Oh,
not our kind of people. She said,
no. Oh, she's the one? Is she the one that just...
Yeah, she's the one. She's
not our kind of people. Right,
yeah,
fine.
And she said, yeah, but also, I'd like to, maybe we'll do another show. I should have got to this right away. That was my idea. But she said she couldn't come in today, maybe next week. Anyway, so...
Well, I wish she'll come in.
What's her name?
Well, okay, hold on. A job search debug is the blog. She says, tell me about your relationship with the company in this job search. I'll just read you a few more questions. Hopefully we'll get to them in the future. She said, don't ask me for names of my colleagues or references. When you ask me about my salary, don't pre-negotiate with me. Let me see. Don't lie to me. And it goes on.
She's giving bad advice.
She's giving horrible advice.
It's a huge article.
Is this Penelope?
No, it isn't Penelope. No, I told you
a few times. Are you sure? It's not her in disguise? Are you sure?
It's not Penelope.
It's job
horrible
search
advice.
For the number
horrible
four
advice.
Execs.
Okay.
Is that who you're talking about?
Okay. A job search
sounds
for...
A bit like a, sounds
yeah.
a bit like somebody copying Janice's space to me.
I think she's pretty smart, and I've read her stuff before, and I think a lot of the stuff she said is true, but Jerry wants me to let him take control.
Before,
Last question.
Was it said in the top of this article that these are things to not do on the very first call or throughout all of the calls?
There was no mention whether it was first call or second or third or fourth. Okay.
Okay. Well, all right.
So let's give her the benefit of the doubt. I hope she comes on.
I'm not going to.
No.
I don't like any of that advice.
Either. No,
poor, bad.
No, she doesn't deal with our type of people.
I told her she had to be ready to face the music
thing.
She came on this show, and you know, and she might still be listening. So
I'll be
gentle.
Oh, I see her.
Kind of advice
okay.
To keep her client level up.
You know, I can't hear a word you're saying, Rand. Thank you, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
You know, I'm about worn out.
I was
going to
ask you if you were worn out.
Combating animal on this whole client meeting thing,
we keep berating you.
Jerry, can I make a comment here?
Yeah, who is this?
It's Mike Anstringer.
Yeah, hey, man. Yeah.
You know, somebody very high profile like you, in my opinion, should refute parts of that article. And I was on other calls.
Absolutely.
And I didn't catch all of it. But I got to tell you something, particularly what he said at the end about the salary information. That's the worst advice of what I heard.
Yep.
If you know, don't talk to me about salary, or I think it said pre-negotiate salary information. I'm not sending any. I'm a corporate recruiter as a consultant, and I'm not sending anybody to a hiring manager unless I know they're in that salary range.
Exactly.
That is going to be qualified as pre-negotiating salary. Then call it what you will, but if we can't have that conversation in advance, and I got to tell you something, it scares me that there's people out there giving that kind of advice to candidates.
The candidate represents each of us, right? So
I think that was advice to recruiters.
No, it wasn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
It's the job seeker.
But she's trying to appeal to job seekers.
I think there was a lot of bad information
there. Advice to the recruiter on behalf of the job seeker. That's what it was. It was on behalf of
some of what I heard made sense. Some of what I heard made sense. Like I was saying last week, you know, some of that information I want before. You know, if
sorry, can you just shut up the speakers?
The normal good stuff, the average stuff that every recruiter knows, yeah, that stuff made sense. The other stuff did not.
Well, what I was going to say was as a corporate recruiter, when I get a candidate from a third-party recruiter, I want a lot of that information, and I want to know a lot of the information she was talking about. So yeah, some of that made sense, but it was the salary stuff that, God, if you can have a salary conversation, if somebody's out there advising candidates not to have a salary conversation with a recruiter, that's scary stuff.
Yeah, you're going to look like an idiot if you don't
know
the salary.
You
and the recruiter are an idiot.
The thing for me is it's going to be a relationship killer right at the beginning.
Yep.
If you're deliberately saying, I don't want to give you that information at the moment. I'm not sure if I want
first
this.
The
is the salary
shredder.
I'm wanting. Yeah, I, you know,
I
I'm going to be thinking, do I really? I don't want to put you in front of anybody.
Can I ask you something? I'm a recruiter, as you guys know, Kathy Manis, and I'm also a job seeker, okay?
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
People have been interviewing me and asking me what I want for salary, and honestly,
who has their
speakers
on?
I don't know how to answer that.
Here's what you say, all I can get.
There you go.
Well, what?
All I can get.
But instead of a contractor versus a perm position with benefits, it's totally different. And I've been finding it just—I just don't know what to say. So maybe.
But that you say that.
Say what you need.
What you just said was good. What you just said was good. It depends.
Okay. It depends. Yeah, it depends on what the whole total compensation package is. But this is what
I'd open with a number. I'd open with a number, but work out what you need, add a little bit more on top.
Just throw it back at them
for a bit of bargaining room, and say, "Well, look, if somebody says, what are you looking for? Say, you know,
this is what I've got.
Just make sure you've got a real number in your mind.
I have done
that. You're going to be comfortable with.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you'll come back. Does that mean we can't land you for this? Does this mean you won't take that? And then you're more prepared to answer that question.
Okay.
If the number doesn't work, it's not going to work. I mean, it's a buyer-seller relationship.
Yeah, it needs to be a realistic number that you can, that you can live on with a little bit more.
But there's negotiation possibilities too. Don't forget that. Boy,
and
wonders.
I told them that.
Leave a bit of elbow room.
Who has the responsibility?
you've been on the side of the recruiter, so you know what you expect the answers to be.
I know, but it's so weird being the candidate now.
Who has the responsibility to put a number out there first, the recruiter or the candidate?
I think the recruiter.
Really?
I think the candidate.
That's a good question. I don't know.
As a candidate, you need
to... No, I think the candidate, and it's about... I always, whenever talking salary, it's always about... reminding the candidate that it's in my interest to get the highest possible salary. That's how I make the most money, but I need to know what to talk to him about.
Okay, yeah.
So,
but that's
you know,
recruiter,
I'm not working on commission, but I will never, ever throw a salary out there.
I'd say, guys, it doesn't matter because there's a market value that you have. You carry with you a market value based on your career history, and there's your parameter. Give $5,000 to $10,000 either way, and that's what it is. It doesn't matter who brings it up first.
Correct.
Really,
you have a market value, and you have a market value, and you have your finances. You know what it takes to run your household. That drives your number, and that's why it's important for them to come forward with the number before the recruiter does, because they're the critical path.
Yeah, but the hiring manager also knows what his budget is and what.
Are you going to ask? Are you going to ask the candidate to take a $20,000 pay decrease to take the job?
Nordstrom.
Hey guys, whoever has their speakers turned on.
Yeah, turn them on.
Can you shut those off, please, for me?
Some people are in this economy taking $20K less.
Then you ask them if they're willing to do that, but you won't know to even ask them that if you don't know what they're looking for to support their household.
I think the problem with this woman,
okay, with this article, is that she's making the recruiter the enemy. This can all be ironed out in conversation without making recruiters seem like villains. Okay,
exactly.
And that's because I'm on her website and I'm looking at it, and you know, don't ask a recruiter for help, and then I mean, there's got to be a trust level, but I think she's making recruiters villains, and some recruiters are not ethical and honest.
Tweet out that link.
You know, I think
part of the problem here is that, you know, the basic truth is that your clients are pretty much always the company, not the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, like, you know, as much as you say as recruiters that you're working on behalf of the candidate, and as much as that's often true, your financial incentives are aligned with the company in the end.
That's exactly
and
right.
And if you're making a fee on a $90,000 placement or a $100,000 placement, you just rather make the placement.
Right.
You know, the fee that you're making on that last extra $10,000 isn't going to make or break you, but the fee on the $90,000
right.
is a really big deal.
The
so
key
when
point
you're, you know, in any negotiation, the first person to throw out a number is at a disadvantage.
Right.
And you realize that
as
the recruiter, and the candidate realizes that as a candidate. So this is kind of just a natural give and take. It's just, you know.
Who is this talking?
Dave Manister.
This is David Manister.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Well, going back to what Bill said, you're trying to build a relationship, so why assume anything? You say to the candidate, how important is salary in your decision-making process? They say, oh, it's very, very important. And it's like, well, then I guess we need to talk about that. Tell me what your needs are so I understand. Just get that, you know, put it in their court and let them decide what they want to share about salary.
Well,
if they say, I'm not going to tell you a thing, then you say, okay, well, I just realize that I can't represent you well when I go to the client and see if you're a good fit. You could be a terrible fit salary-wise, and if it's that important to you, I think we need to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it'd
be interesting to see a discussion between Bill Borman and Dave Manister because they have very opposing views on who pays the salary, who pays your fee. So that'd be interesting, Dave.
How so? I mean, question, Ryan?
Well, if you, I don't know if you remember Bill's, I don't think you were in on it.
Oh,
Bill, thing about where the fee originally comes from. It actually comes from the candidate, ultimately. And so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if
you don't have the right candidate, if it doesn't work the whole thing around, neither one of
them.
Yeah,
but that was one of Bill's blogs back when he was just trying to make a splash on the scene. It was highly controversial, and I'm sure he didn't.
I'm still totally a believer in that. Jerry, that wasn't a controversial thing.
Okay.
I just had a candidate
this week who I placed yesterday. This candidate said, Jeff, did you talk to your client about my salary requirements? Because I had a recruiter. You know, and I believe you're a good recruiter, Jeff, based on what the discussion we've had, built relationship like Bill would say, and everything else. But I had an experience with another recruiter, and they they basically lied to me. They said, yeah, we talked about salary to a client of theirs, and when he walked in there, he got it was a total mismatch. He says, you know, when the salary discussion came up between the client and the candidate, there was a huge gap, and that soured the whole relationship for this candidate of mine with recruiters. So, I mean, he was thrilled to death that we had talked about salary, that I said, yes, I presented your requirements to the client. It seems to be in line. And guess what? When the salary came through yesterday, it was a little bit lower than what this guy wanted, but they threw all kinds of other stuff at him in terms of benefits, and he took the job. As long as you got to be packed with information, what's going to drive the decision?
And
you got to ask it honest, and you got to ask the questions. And we've on this show before have talked about, oh, I'd never bring up salary. I don't know how you operate that way. I don't know how you can do it.
You have to bring up salary. You have to.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the most important things to the candidate, right?
Exactly. What makes the deal happen?
Not going to take a job not knowing what the salary is. It's like their commute. If it's an hour, would you tell them, I'm not going to tell you where the candidate is if they're worried about driving an hour back and forth to work? Of course they're going to tell them. You're just making a decision as to what you think is more important to the candidate. You know, the commute, the salary, what are they going to be doing? You tell them everything.
You got to remember, this is all coming from a post that advises an adversarial relationship.
Well, but we're not all in agreement about this. We're not all in agreement about it, even though it's stemming from that Bill of Rights thing. We're not
you know,
all in
don't
agreement
about this, right, don't yeah. divulge that, and don't trust him. You can't work that way anyway. You got to be careful, but you can't work that way.
Today we're only going to just rate the show overall. We're just going to have one score because there was no guest. Just all in all, 0 to 10, whole numbers. Dave Manister, what's your score?
5. I don't know.
I need to know why.
I don't know why Animal keeps on harping on you, Jerry, about that whole in-person thing. It's
jealousy.
Just such common sense. If
it's
it worked, why are you arguing with it? And it went on forever.
Yeah.
He's kind of turned into a hater on that, didn't he? It's kind of odd.
I think it's his personal preference. He doesn't like to meet with people, and so he assumes.
Yeah, but do we have to talk about it all the time? Please, it's dead. Let's move on.
Bill Borman, give me a score on the show. Just one score.
Four. I'll give you 8 for the after show. I picked up more in the after show. But I'll give you 4 for the first.
Why a 4? I mean, that's surprisingly low.
Just because I thought we were following the Twitter stream, and we seemed to spend half the show talking about Jeff Lipshaw.
Misrepresentation, then.
And that's a 4 right by itself. You're talking about Jeff, but that's a 3.
And then
really.
we spent another
giant really desperate.
Chunk talking about visits. Whereas I thought, you know, there was more conversation to be had around what's in the Twitter stream at the moment. And that's why 4 for me.
Jeremy. Is he still here?
He's working.
Okay.
Hello?
We'll leave that open.
Jeremy?
Yes.
We need your score.
I'm
just
sorry.
One score
I was on the other line. Blah, 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 blah. 7. I wasn't jumping up and down about some of the content.
Okay.
It's pretty high.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's high.
Is Mike still listening? A Stringer, the sailboat
guy? Yeah, I'm still here, Jerry. I'm still here.
What's your score today?
I'm going to give the show a 7, but I want to make a comment, too. I find it interesting. This is probably the third show I've listened to, and it always heats up at the end. The beginning's always kind of slow, and it always heats up in the end, including my segment last week. So he would have got a much higher score for me if we could sort of get the debate and the active conversation going earlier in the show.
That's interesting.
Get some traction a little earlier is what you're suggesting.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And before we sign off, I want to ask a question of the third-party recruiters as well.
Okay, well, let's wrap up these scores, and then we'll get to it. Kathy Manis, are you still there?
I am. A 5. What I liked was what Jerry was saying.
I usually bring the good stuff.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you.
That's why people invite me to the parties.
No, it's because the music.
You bring the band.
You bet.
It was just too, you know, disorganized. And
oh, no.
Haphazard.
Yeah,
that's
kind
of this.
Shouting over everyone, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it was still a good show, though. Even though I give it a 5, I think it's a good show.
You want to up the score?
That doesn't make sense. Yeah, that's not a right, accurate score, then.
Don't be afraid to commit.
You're supposed to rate the whole show.
Okay, the whole show I will give a 6.
Uh-huh. that was crazy. Rayanne?
I'm going to say a 7, only
because I thought the show was really interesting, and I think there was a lot of rapid-fire discussion, and a lot of good things were said, and I think that's what the show is about, and I'm surprised by the low scores. I think it was better than some of the shows with a guest, so.
You know, actually, you're right, Rayanne. I'm going to go to a 7, Jerry.
We only allow one.
Oh, fine.
One still.
I mean, I can't do this all day, Kathy. I'm sorry.
That's it.
Okay. Janice.
5.
Wow.
But I've got a good reason. There are so many good topics that came up that he killed.
Yes.
He's a top.
It was all over the place. It was manic.
I mean, no, but they're really good, compelling discussions. We are a really hot group, and he kills many of them with his style, which
we call a buzzkill here in Indiana.
There you go. So 5.
Mm.
Allow the discussions to breathe a little bit more.
He gets nervous when he doesn't hear himself.
Yeah. He gets nervous when there's any dead airspace, as proven by his. Yeah.
Yeah, but with us, there's no gun, not going to be any dead airspace. But man, a good host sits back for a minute and lets the people take the show.
Well, and that's the worst. That's the worst crime in radio is dead air. I mean, you don't want that.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Maureen, what's your score?
Well, I'm much more easily entertained than the rest of you. I would give it a 10, except that I'm not allowed to. But I echo Rayanne's sentiments. I thought it was a really entertaining show, so I'm going to give it a 9.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
I like how you still say, I would give it a 10 if I could. You say
if I could.
Okay. Jeff Lipschultz.
Yeah, you know, I give it an 8 for entertainment value, but I give it a 2 for, you know, having learned something in quality and, you know, getting something out of it. Like we said, I think we had more follow-on discussion that was a learning experience for some people on the call than we did during the actual show. Jerry, you know me, I rate the show on how much did I learn, and usually if you have a great guest or something like that, you learn a lot. Like we had that legal person on last year, learned a boatload. I was writing things down. Here, you know, we didn't have a guest. We didn't learn that much. Talking about my stuff, not that I have any, I don't care, but no one learned anything from that. There was no value in what we were talking about. So,
I don't know.
But it's entertaining. I think a lot of people get hooked into the entertainment value and how good of a host he is. And he's a great host, and he's always funny, and it's always fun, and that's why we tune in. I give him a 9 or whatever for that. But, you know, if you want to learn something, if you got a new recruiter who knows diddly and calls into this show to learn something, how much did they learn today? For real. Come on.
For real. Come on.
I don't know. I don't agree with that.
What is your score, then? I can't tell.
You don't have to agree. I don't know. You have to take the average, Jerry. Sorry. So give it a 5 or something.
5.
I'm not at liberty to do that, man. You really?
I'll do a 5 for you.
Okay.
You know, we're clarifying the salary issue.
I take liberties all the time, Jerry. I'm surprised at that answer.
What's that?
I said you take liberties all the time. I'm surprised.
Not with the score. Not with the score.
Okay. All right. All right.
And I am going to give the show a 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like some of the stuff. I like some of the stuff and other stuff.
You like talking about going to the candidate for the 20th time or to the client's office?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
talking about people's Twitter stream.
Opportunity to keep saying how important it is.
I think we have to be aware of if we're grading because we like content or if we're engaged by it.
You're
Isn't that the
to,
same thing?
You're free to score the show any way you want.
There's no rules on that.
No.
No guidelines.
I understand.
You can score however you want.
If you want.
I find the show scintillating.
Wow. The only thing I learned today was how to
bring out the $10 words.
Scintillating.
I give that word a 10. I give that word a 10.
All right. Are 10s allowed, Jerry?
On words, sure. No rules.
You.
I just didn't want anyone having a sour taste on Jeff when they hung up. Boy, that guy's an ass.
Well, you guys have been great. I have to get back to work.
Wait, there was a discussion topic that was supposed to be discussed right at the end of our scoring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, third-party thing.
Okay,
yeah.
What is that?
You know what, I don't want to turn this into a long thing when I know Jerry's got to get back to work, but I was just curious when...
I'm just pretending,
that advice...
I'm sitting here in my underwear, brother.
Gotcha.
And with that.
No, that's
Jerry,
all
on
I
milk,
want.
Sometimes
on
I
a milk crate,
I probably
remember,
shouldn't.
Jerry, on a milk crate, you remember that, right?
On a milk crate, baby, I still got it right here.
The corn butter going.
With a boat cushion on.
The web cable.
No, my question was just brief. When that bad advice for job seekers was being given out, many of you used the phrase, in my first call. And there's a lot of that information that I want to see as a corporate recruiter when you guys are submitting a candidate. So it just made me curious. How many times do you guys typically talk to a candidate before you submit them to me?
Three. Two or three. Probably. Really? They are going to need
a full ball green before they get submitted, and I think that's where a lot of recruiters have fallen down.
But can't you sometimes do that in the first call if it's a long call? It depends on how much time they have, but can't you just, if things are going well, you don't keep going and dig deeper and start going into...
If there's time to do that, but normally when you're making that first approach, you're catching them unprepared, you're catching them out in a working environment where they can't talk to you. And a telephone...
I don't even count that first one. If it's just setting up another meeting, you know,
there needs to be a telephone screening or a telephone interview to establish about the candidate. Needs to be an interview. The only difference is that you're doing it on the phone rather than face-to-face, but you need the same level of detail.
I always want them to do something between my first call and the second call, and normally that's send me their resume or send me an email with the phone number I should call them at 6 o'clock. I always need to have them buy back a little bit, you know.
Jerry, what if you already have their resume? What if you catch them at a great time of day and they're ready to talk to you? I mean, then would you go?
Sure, man, then have it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You know, why not? But in general, I like to see, hey, here's what I want to talk about the next time we talk. I'm going to talk about your background. I'm going to talk about your job search, and you know, I want to establish the process.
Yeah, this is how Jerry eliminates the passive candidate. He always talks about how there are no passive candidates. So he's identifying their interest right away by seeing if they will submit something back to him.
Yeah, or at least try. See, the person that says, "Well, no, you know," like if somebody says, "I'll send you my resume," and then they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just like a client.
Yeah, then that's game over.
Job order to work on, and you say, "Hey, let me come see you for lunch tomorrow." And they say no.
Yeah.
Why would you overlook that? I mean, that's huge communication. I don't see why people pass that stuff up.
Hmm.
Right.
That's true.
Okay, guys, I love you all. You can keep talking, but I gotta roll.
I'm out.
When you roll, we roll, man. Talk to you later.
Thanks, everybody. See y'all.
Speak to you all soon. Thanks, Terry.
See you, Bill. Nice catching
up. Bye, Bill.
See you all soon. Bye.